Okay, so Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is God's word.
Well, I was reading the West Australian during the week. And on Tuesday, there was this good news story about a young kid who'd been lost, but eventually was found. He'd been off riding his trail bike in the bush way out of Chittering. The bike broke down. He didn't really know where he was, but figured that the smart thing to do would be to leave his bike and walk in search of a road that he could follow the road to town. However, of course, the best thing to do if ever anything breaks down and you're lost is to stay with your vehicle, because once word went out that the kid was missing, they did locate his motorbike fairly quickly, but it took them another 20 or 30 hours, I think it was, to find the boy. But the great news was that that kid who was lost was found. And his parents, for them it was a bit like a resurrection experience, I guess, because the dad said, "We thought we'd lost him." That is, they thought that their son was dead. But yet he was alive again. So wonderful story. And I was reading it, sitting there, and I couldn't help thinking of Jesus and his words in this chapter of Luke, chapter 19, because Jesus says in verse 10 that he, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save the lost. And I don't think he had in mind trail bike riders out of the Chittering, although he doesn't exclude them, mind you. But given that Christmas time means the coming of Jesus, it's always worth reflecting on why Jesus came. And so that's what I want to do with you tonight, just pick at this passage a bit to see if we can better understand Jesus' purpose in coming to seek and to save the lost. Of course, at Christmas time, all our attention on Jesus, you know, in the stuff that you see commercially anyway, is the baby in a manger. And it's hard to think, I think, that, you know, of that Jesus actually doing anything, because, you know, what can babies do except poo and burp and gurgle and cry? But of course, we must remember that Jesus grows to be a man, and it's as the man Jesus that he comes to seek and to save the lost. But the interesting thing, I think, as we work through this passage is that it's not immediately obvious that Zacchaeus, the guy who Jesus saves, was lost. So let's have a look at this passage, Jesus coming to seek and to save the lost, thinking about what it means for Zacchaeus to be lost, what that means for us, and the three headings under which I want to tackle it come from Jesus' statement, to seek, to save, and the lost. So, what does Jesus mean when he says that he comes to seek? And I think against the background of that Old Testament reading we had, the first one tonight from Ezekiel 34, Jesus is actually making a claim, or more than making a claim, he's demonstrating that he is God who has now come to seek those who are lost. I mean, that was one of the emphases of that Ezekiel 34 passage, wasn't it? No need for you to turn back to it, but just listen again as I read a couple of verses indicating what God will one day do. After ripping into the leadership of Israel for their failures, God says in verse 11, "Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they have gone. I myself will seek the lost, will bring back the strayed." And so when Jesus hits the scene, declaring in this encounter with Zacchaeus that he has come to seek the lost, Jesus is doing nothing less than declaring that he is God, and that in the person of Jesus, God is fulfilling that promise of Ezekiel chapter 34, and he has now come himself to save the lost. He's fed up with relying on human leadership that he's appointed to try to do that sort of thing. He's judged his people for their failures, but now in the person of Jesus, God himself has come to seek those who are lost. And so in this encounter with Zacchaeus, Jesus is claiming to be God. Often you hear people, criticizing the Christian faith or perhaps justifying believing in Jesus as just a man by saying that, Jesus never actually says, "I am God," or something like that. And, it may be the case that Jesus doesn't say a sentence as concise and as clear as that, "I am God." And yet for those who are familiar with God's word in the Old Testament, and those who are familiar with the stuff that Jesus does, can quite clearly see that in the words of Jesus and in the works of Jesus, he is forever saying and demonstrating that he is the person in whom God has come to bring salvation. We can be in absolutely no doubt that Jesus does indeed say that he is God, because indeed Jesus is God. And so he comes to seek the lost. But not only does he come to seek them, secondly, he comes to save them. And what's interesting here is that on the one hand, this too is a demonstration that Jesus is God. If we'd have had more time tonight to read more of Luke's gospel, we could have just started back in chapter 18 with an earlier encounter between Jesus and another rich guy. Chapter 19, the passage that Wayne read for us, tells us that Zacchaeus was a tax collector and he was rich. But back in chapter 18, we met another rich guy, the rich ruler, who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And, claimed to have been a great guy. But Jesus said to him, in verse 22, "One thing you lack, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." But when the man heard these things, he became very sad because he was extremely rich. And Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." But he said, down in verse 27, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." So in that earlier encounter with a rich guy, Jesus himself had said it's really difficult for rich people to be saved. In fact, on a human level, it's impossible. But for God, it is possible. And so when we come to chapter 19 and we meet Zacchaeus, another rich guy, and this time Zacchaeus is saved. Jesus says to him in verse 9, "Salvation has come to your house." It's Jesus doing what only God could do, saving a rich man. Impossible for humans, but possible for God. And so, again, in that action, Jesus is revealing himself, declaring himself to be God, who has come not only to seek the lost, but to save the lost. But more than just seeing this about Jesus, we also see something of what salvation is in this encounter. Because Jesus demonstrates that salvation means being accepted by God, even though the lives we've lived have been unacceptable to Him. Salvation means being accepted by God, even though the lives we've lived have been unacceptable to Him. Because that's one of the things that we notice about Zacchaeus. He's described in as a tax collector and a sinner in verse 6. But not only that, I think he's presented as an outsider, just in the way this story works. You remember what happens, Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is coming to town. Verse 3, he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he couldn't, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was about to pass that way. You see, Zacchaeus is being presented as like an outsider. He's not someone on the inside with a front row seat beside the street there in Jericho, able to see Jesus. He's someone who's running around out the back on the outside, unable to look in. But what Jesus does is accepts him and takes him from being an outsider to being a true insider. Because in verse 4 and 5, we read that when Jesus came to the place, the tree, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down, and Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. You see, this is Jesus accepting an outsider. And not only accepting him, but making him such an insider that now Jesus is going to stay at his house. He could have stayed at anybody's place in Jericho. Could have picked the most, self-righteous person in town. But instead, he picks this guy who is an outsider, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is not just an outsider in that sort of metaphorical sense, I suppose. But he is an outsider in reality because he is a sinner. As the people say of him in verse 7, grumbling about why Jesus went to stay there, they say he's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Now they forget, of course, that they too are sinners. But they're certainly labelling Zacchaeus as an outsider, but not only that, as a sinner, and indeed he was. He was a tax collector, right? Which means, he worked for the tax office, and I imagine it's the same in any culture and any time. People who work for the tax office, not the most popular guys in town, I guess, because nobody wants to pay their taxes to the government and these guys come to get them. But in Jesus' day, it was much worse because it was just sort of taken for granted that tax collectors would actually take a little cut for themselves as well. So, I'm coming to collect the 10% tax off you, but let's make it 11% because I have the authority to do that and I'm going to pocket the 1%. And Zacchaeus, we're told, was the chief tax collector and that he was rich. So obviously he'd worked his way up the ranks. Now as the chief tax collector, he would get the biggest cut of the extra percentage that was taken. And having done this for years and years, he'd made himself rich. Not only so, but he was a Jewish guy and he's working for the occupying Roman government. So working kind of as an enemy of his people in their eyes. This guy was a sinner. And if we're in any doubt that he had in fact sinned, some people might say, oh, maybe Zacchaeus was an honest tax collector. Didn't take an extra cut for himself. But we know that's not true because Zacchaeus in verse 8, after he is saved, he says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And that particular sentence, if I have defrauded anyone, when you analyze the grammar in that sentence, he's actually saying, if I have defrauded anyone, and I actually have, I'll pay them back fourfold. He's acknowledging that he's a sinner, you see. But despite being a sinner, an outsider, Jesus accepts him. And it helps us, therefore, to see that to be saved is to be accepted by God, even though we live lives that are not worthy of his acceptance. And the acceptance is so complete that of all the people in Jericho that Jesus could have stayed with, he stays with Zacchaeus. Now, I think we need to understand here that Jesus doesn't stay with Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus says, I'm going to pay back the people I've defrauded. I'm going to give half my money to the poor. He's not saved because he does those things. It's before he does those things that Jesus says to Zacchaeus, I'm coming to stay at your house. You see, he's saved first. And then that brings a change to the way Zacchaeus sees himself and sees God and sees other people. And so the genuineness of his conversion expresses itself in Zacchaeus giving money to the poor and repaying all those people that he had ripped off. Salvation did not come to his house because he gave his money away. He gave his money away because salvation had come to his house. Jesus accepted him first. But he came for Zacchaeus. He sought him and he saved him because Zacchaeus is an example of someone who was lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. But in what sense was Zacchaeus lost? He's in the middle of his hometown, downtown Jericho. He knows where Jesus is going to walk so well that he knows there's a suitable tree down there that he'd be able to climb to get a good vantage point to see Jesus pass by. We normally think that when people are lost, you know, they're like this guy. They're out in the bush, no idea where they are. But that wasn't the case with Zacchaeus. He wasn't lost in that sense. Sometimes we speak about people being lost as if they have, no sense of purpose or direction in life. Just kind of aimlessly drifting along. And we might describe them as being lost in that sense. But again, I don't think Zacchaeus was like that. You know, this is a guy who's got a good career. I mean, he was unpopular with everybody, but he's the chief tax collector. He's had a successful career. He's worked his way all the way up from a university graduate to a, you know, tax collector 1, 2, 3 to a senior to a supervisor, and now he's the chief. This is a guy who's climbed the ranks of his career. He's worked with some sort of purpose in his life. He's now, I guess, responsible for the people in the tax department, being the chief. He isn't presented to us as this guy whose life is without sort of, you know, direction and meaning in that sense, lost in that sense. So how is Zacchaeus an example to us of a lost person? Well, I think his lostness is demonstrated in the fact that he was an outsider who had drifted away from God. It's not that he was the worst of sinners. You know, he's not a rapist or a terrorist or a murderer or something like that. His sins, I'm sure he could argue, were just, you know, respectable things that anyone in his position would do, a perk of the job to be able to take an extra percentage for himself. But he drifted away from God and found himself as an outsider. He was lost in that his relationship with God had disappeared. Now, we don't know how that had happened, but I think it might have happened the way for Zacchaeus, the way that it happens that for lots of people still today. He would have grown up in a religious home. He was a Jewish guy. But, you know, left home, went to uni, probably did a double major in accounting and tax law, graduated, got a gig at the tax office, worked hard at his job, proved to be good at his job, started to scale the ranks. The higher up he went, the sort of further away God got. I guess he was just drifting away from that religious background that he had one time had. As he climbed the ranks of his profession, he got to enjoy the so-called perks of taking that extra percentage. Maybe there was a time when he realized that that wasn't right, but, you know, hey, everybody else is doing it. And over time, he would have just drifted into this sinful lifestyle of stealing from people. And I think for Zacchaeus, he just would have quietly drifted away from his relationship with God, his relationship with God's people, without ever noticing it. Because it wasn't a time when he said, I don't believe that anymore. It's not like he'd fallen into sex, drugs and rock and roll type sin and was, you know, obviously rebelling against it. It just seems to me that he'd slipped his mooring, drifted away. And now, this time when Jesus arrived, Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was lost. And so of all the people lining the street that day, Jesus, who is God come to seek and save the lost, singles out Zacchaeus, both because Zacchaeus was lost and to give us an example in Zacchaeus of someone who was lost, and to demonstrate to us that however far we've drifted, whatever we have done, if we come looking for Jesus, he accepts us and welcomes us back into his relationship. I don't think it's meant to excuse the fact that we might drift off into lostness, but it is meant to make the point that apart from relationship with God, we are lost. But if we seek to come back, he will certainly have us. I think it's great for us to be mindful of this at Christmas time as we think of the reason for the coming of Jesus. You know, it wasn't just to be a baby in a manger. It wasn't just to give us an excuse for presents and public holidays and all that sort of stuff. But it was God coming in human form, seeking and saving people who had distanced themselves from him by their own choices, by their own lifestyle, in order to restore their relationship. We need to be grateful if we've already been found by God in Jesus, that he came to seek us and to find us and to save us. But we need also to be mindful of heaps of other people who remain lost. They may well know where they are. They may well be living lives of purpose and success. And yet, nevertheless, they are lost because they've drifted from Jesus. And we need to remember that we can be the people who bring the good news of Jesus to them in order that they might be found and that they might be saved. Because Christmas and the coming of Jesus is not just about him, it's not just about us, but it's about all those people who remain lost and in need of his salvation. Jesus says that he has come to seek and to save the lost. We need to be part of the spirit of his mission, the purpose of his coming. Not just make sure that we ourselves are found by him and stay with him, but that we can bring the news of Jesus to those people we know who have drifted away to the point that they too have become lost. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of great love for your people, and that when we've drifted from you, forgotten you, lived our lives apart from you, you haven't just let us go and written us off, but instead in the person of Jesus you've come to find us and to bring us home. Lord, for those of us who've already been brought home, we say thank you. But we express our concern for those of us who might be drifting. I pray, Father, that you'd help those of us drifting to know that we are lost, to know that we need to come back, and to be reassured that in Jesus you will have us back. And Lord, we too are greatly distressed for the many, many people we know who are lost but have no sense that they are. I pray that you would make them aware of their lostness, cause them to come searching for meaning, and may it be that you place us and other Christian people in their lives in order that they might find that meaning in Jesus, and indeed that they themselves might be found by him and saved by him. We thank you for Christmas and the opportunity to reflect on Jesus and his coming. And we ask that the opportunity to speak to others about Jesus, the one who came to seek and to save and the lost, that opportunity might not be lost by us, but that it one might be one that we embrace. And as we speak to people about Christmas, that you might give us opportunities to speak to them about Jesus as well. And we pray in his great name. Amen.